Well, mine is 33. You have grandchildren?
Nope, not yet.
Me either. And could you imagine having some grandchildren and they don't just move home with the grandchildren, they move home with their spouse? Girl, make you come up all out the ground here on the edge. Friends, this is Ilana Koverman. She is an author of two incredibly different but powerful books, one for children and one for adult brains. She is also working in the field of child psychology. I want to find out what's going on and rattling around in these little brains in school with this distance learning. And she's got a coaching business. We're going to talk a little bit about that here on The Edge Brains. Help me welcome our guest today, the beautiful Ilana Koverman. Hi, baby. How are you? And welcome.
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I can't complain about nothing. Not a thing. Even if I'm so, you know, I see that you are doing a lot of things with kids. And I appreciate that. We were just talking about our kids in the green room. They are doing the most. But these little brains are being so impacted now. And it's being tweaked at a pivotal point in their life. I mean, the switch just had to flip like that. Because we've been using these technology, this technology and these devices to really entertain and amuse, but not educate. So there's a big difference there in the world of education and what's going on in school and what's going on in their brains, but their parents' brains, because they're about to have a nervous breakdown.
Yes.
You know, they don't know how to manage this. So tell me a little bit about your experience and what got you in the field of psychology and working with children.
Well, I actually had no idea what I wanted to do. I just knew I loved psychology. And it wasn't until like my senior year in college that I figured out there was even such a thing as a school psychologist. And I just fell in love with it. I just love working one-on-one with kids. Trying to figure out, mainly I help try to figure out what's stopping them from learning at the rate that, you know, other kids might be learning, you know, what disability might be there, or what might not be there, and it could be other things, you know, like in this time right now, you know, a lot of parents are concerned about their children not, you know, maybe there's something, you know, wrong with them when this is a stressful time.
And parents,
kids, you know, kids are feeling it and they don't have the skill set as adults do
right,
to cope with these changes. And so it looks like, you know, they're not learning or maybe there's, you know, more stress or the way that they're acting at home or, you know, or they're just not engaging. I work in high school now. And we have so many kids that just don't even want to engage.
No, they just, you know, like noodles, slippery and wet and slick. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. You know, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. There's so much to see. There's so much to do. You know, I had a reading challenge when I grew up. You know, brains always tell y'all my life story. And what happened was I could not hear letters phonetically. So sometimes even to this day, at a particular age, I transpose letters. I couldn't hear the sounds sometimes. And so it was a challenge. But my father introduced me to Dr. Zeus and hooked on phonics, and it was wonderful. Well, I don't know if it was genetic because my daughter had the same issue. Mm-hmm. And I put her in a program, I don't even know if they have it anymore, called Sylvan Learning Center. Oh, Ilana, I promise by it, it was the best money I ever spent. And next thing I know, she was reading the whole Harry Potter series. So it's identifying what is going on. But like you said, it could be trauma. There's problems at home. You know, maybe they're not eating. Maybe they're not sleeping. Maybe they're living in a car. So do you also have a right to report what's going on and other things that you see as you're working with these children?
What do you mean? Do I have a right to report? I am a mandated reporter, if that's what you mean. Yes, I'm a mandated reporter, just like all educators are. So we try to support, and I'm so grateful. I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and I am so grateful, at least where I live in Connecticut, it has shifted where, they've actually have a department now just for helping parents with the issues, not just dealing with what people would, usually think, oh, they're going to take my children away. No, their first priority is to work and help the families to just be happier and better and get along better and that kind of thing. So I'm really glad I've seen that over the last probably 10 years. That's been a shift.
That's here in Connecticut. That's wonderful. So you are the author of not one, but two books. Where are they, Shai? And tell me how you got to writing and a little bit about your writing process, because they're two totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting. I got them both the same way. It's very interesting. It came to me. I'll be honest with you. I feel they were gifted to me through spirit. I feel that I am just a vessel for this information to get out. The children's book is, this is it here. It's My Gift, a book about a child who sees spirit.
And so what about that child in spirit?
Yeah, so it just came to me one night. So I was just laying in bed, honestly, and this story just came to me. And I didn't want to wake up my husband at the time. So I went into the bathroom and I just started writing this. And it's exactly what came that night. And my father illustrated it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. I have my copy. I had to run and get it. Okay. You see that, Brave? Okay. And are you going to read for us?
Yes. I would love to read this to you because it is very short. But again,
I want you to take your time and enjoy this because this is an additional gift. I do this for authors also because I want you, Braves, to hear their voice, their passion, their thought process. Where were they? Were they in a giddy place? Were they in a sad place? Were they in a lonely place? Whenever they write these books. So it's so important. And you can appreciate the value of this more so when you purchase it and you give it to your children or you read it to your children. So I'm sorry, Ilana, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm really excited about this. I love this. I really love this.
Yeah, this is very passionate me because I have worked with many children over the years who hide their gift, who are afraid to tell anybody because they're afraid they're going to be put into a hospital, you know, a psych ward. They don't want to be locked away. And so a lot of kids will hide it. And so I just feel very passionate about this book and getting it out there to help parents talk to their kids. It uses it as a springboard. It helps children who aren't having the experiences just be open and not judge if other kids are. But it's just to help kids feel that they're not alone. So I'll go ahead and read it.
Okay.
So, all right. Oh, can you see it okay?
That looks good.
All right. So it says, hi, my name is Michael and I have a gift. Sometimes I see things that no one else can see. Sometimes I hear things that no one else can hear. Sometimes these things scare me, but usually they're just people. I get scared because I don't understand why they are there or what they want. My mom told me that they are people who do not live on the earth anymore. They died and their souls have come back to visit. The soul is the part of a person that makes the body alive. When the body dies, the soul lives on. Sometimes these souls come back to watch over us, usually because they're family. And sometimes there are strangers just looking for a friend. My mom said I could help the strangers by telling them to go into the light where there is where it is peaceful and full of love. Sometimes they don't listen, but I try. My mom said that I could tell them if I do not want them around me. Sometimes I have to tell them more than once, but then they leave. I can choose who I want to spend my time with. I like seeing my grandpa, who helps me understand my gift. He died a long time ago. There are other children who have the same gift, but for now, I will only share my gift with my family, who understands me.
That's amazing. And you know, it's so simplistic. A lot of times these children with these gifts are taught to suppress that.
Yes.
And when you do that, that causes other problems.
Oh my goodness. It caused a lot. It causes high anxiety, it can cause depression. I've had parents actually say to me, because they were just so scared, oh, my daughter told me she saw something. And I told her, I don't want to hear about that. That's freaky, you know? And so this kid is all by herself with this. Mm. So I've gotten emails from, you know, all over the country with parents just asking, like, how do they go about, you know, supporting their child? And mainly it's first believe them, because there are so many children, especially these days, that, that are open to these experiences.
Right, absolutely. And you know, sometimes I'll be honest with your brains, it's your religious doctrine. You know, you think it's the devil. Well, it's not always the devil. There's a lot of angels here, believe me.
Absolutely.
You know, they're circling around you. And my daughter had an imaginary friend. I'd have to set the table, girl, for her friend. And a friend of mine was wondering, April, you know, I was braiding Chanel's hair and she was talking to her friend the whole time. And I was like, well, you know, hey, I never suppressed that in her and she's fine. You know? So now let's jump and spring and fast forward to your other accomplishment. Let's see your second one. I have my copy here.
This one is 365 morning messages from the angels. Daily messages to guide you to a more positive life. And how this came about was that, school years have been getting a little more difficult every year, and a new school year was starting. And I just had this, this nudge to just send a positive message out to a couple of my friends, you know, that I work with, just to help us get through, because, you know, we knew it was going to be another tough year. The particular school we worked in. And sure. So the next morning I wake up, I figure I'll just grab something out of a book, right? I was just guided to just sit quiet, and I got an image. And I started doing this every day, and I would send out this message to them. And then they would ask if they could share it with other people. And so I would send it. I ended up about halfway through the year, I had over 60 people I was sending it to every morning. My text messages wouldn't hold that many. I had to
Well, let's do this, you know, because when I was looking through it, it's really a book of inspiration. And I like to do that. I like to just flip to a random page and see what message I get. Okay. So I'm going to go first. Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Yep. That's how I highly recommend that way.
Okay. This one says, just because we cannot see something with our own eyes doesn't mean that it does not exist. Be open to what others see. Oh, that girl, I have to mark that. That was timely. That was, as we said, on point. All right, your turn.
Okay. And as you can tell, I use my
they're amazing.
It still amazes me. It still amazes me. And I sometimes read them, like, I wrote that. I'm like, no, I didn't write that. I just shared that. So I usually just go like this and just, where do I see open? Radiate your light and you will always have warmth around you.
See? Right. Daily affirmations, 365 of them. You know, when you can't think of what to say or what to pray, it's right there. And you just flip to a random page. You've got a whole year's worth. I love it. It's simplistic. It's a great, as I call it, a lounge book when you're sitting on the throne. What I mean, really, you know, that's why I tell people I sell my book all the time. Mm-hmm. It's great because you want to be relaxed and you want to absorb the information. This is a great book, both of them. You did a stellar job. Now you're a psychologist, you're writing books, and you're also coaching. How do you find time to do all of that?
Well, it gets a little busy. But no, I absolutely love coaching. I'm a transformational life coach. I coach through people through programs that are based in spiritual principles, incorporating the laws of the universe, because I also teach classes on introduction to angels and the laws of the universe, and because they're happening all the time if you're aware of it or not. Because everybody's heard a law of attraction.
Pump your brakes though. Let me ask you a question, because I do this on the edge. What makes people think that this is not some hocus pocus, alamocus, some woo woo? You know, what gives you the connectivity to source? What do you do? What are your rituals or your practices or your beliefs or your diet? Who's pouring into you?
Wow, very good question. I think it's very, very individual for everybody. But me, I believe that we're all connected, we're all one. And so that energy that we're all connected with is part of us, within us. And so what's within us is way more than any of our circumstances. And that is because we are connected with that source energy, whatever you are comfortable calling it. But what I do is I really enjoy little meditation. I do my phone's ringing. Sorry about that.
They're trying to call in and ask some questions.
Yeah, really. distracting. I do a little meditation, but a lot of it is I tap into my vision of a life that I would love living, and I believe that the universe provides what we focus on, because it's also science. There is a lot of spirituality with it, but there's also a lot of science behind it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a science guru about it, but I know there's science that backs it.
The reason I ask is because people get it tricked up. They think the spirituality is religion.
Yes. Yes.
And mm-hmm. One in my world, one complements the other. One is the GPS, and the other one is the destination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. It just depends on how you want to figure it out. But understand one thing, brains. This I know for sure, that there is something higher and greater that you will transition to. You know, and so you just better try to pay attention and try to get it right. And if you get visited by angels, don't be afraid. Unless you're doing some trickery.
They love you anyway, no matter what you
do. And if your kids are talking to you about that, have a conversation with them. Ask them, what does the person look like? How does it make them feel? Are they afraid? You know, because you'll take a kid to a funeral and you'll say, oh, grandpa's just sleeping. Now they're scared to go to sleep.
Yes, please, please don't.
Right, you know, right, you see grandpa coming down the hallway and I thought he was just sleeping. It'll horrify them. Death is a promise. It's you know, like taxes, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. None of us don't have that last head on the pillow.
No, you don't. So tell us a little bit about the offering that you have and your coaching, what you're coaching people through.
Okay. Well, like I said, I use, through spiritual principles. I take people through proven, reliable, repeatable system programs where they can live the life that they absolutely love, because we absolutely have more power within us. We have way more within us than we give ourselves credit for. I would love to offer a one-on-one complimentary strategy session to anyone who would like to talk with me. It's about an hour long on the phone. And we look at where you are, where you would love to be, and what steps you can take to get there. So I would love to offer that to anybody who would like to take that first step and really looking at your life and really looking and see what you would love different and more exciting, because it can be.
She's got credentials. She's a psychologist. She works with the primitive brain, the small brain, you know, so she can't help but do anything but help you to expand. You are wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I'm glad you spent time with me and the brains here on the edge. Okay, brains, I need you to go in and subscribe. Hit that subscribe button right now on YouTube, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Facebook. I'm not too much with a tickety tock, but I'll find you everywhere else. Thank you so much, Ilana, for being here. Yes.
I just have one thing. I'm so sorry. I didn't say it. People can go to my website where they can see what offerings I have, but also they can join my email list where I give weekly teachings on living a life that you love. You can also sign up for the strategy session there. www.ilanacoverman.com.
I'm going to put that also at the on the bottom with the link, and I'm going to put it at the end of the video so you can go in and take advantage of that. Brains, people are giving you love offerings in abundance here on the edge, right here. You know, they're giving you and pouring into you all that they have for F-R-E-E, okay, for free. And if you don't want to take some powerful advice for free, heaven help you. Thank you so much for being here on the edge. Come back and visit. And again, we're going to push this book. And thank you for the reading. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. I want to ask you something else. I'm going to come in on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Ilana, so much is going on with children and their parents right now during this time of irregularity. Can you give us one or two tips for, you know, parents that are really feeling that anxiety, and maybe one or two tips for children that aren't responding? How can we try to get them re-engaged?
Yeah, that's a hot topic right now. Absolutely. I would say, honestly, I know this sounds so cliche, but you really got to breathe. You got to breathe and remember that this is difficult for everyone. You know, everybody's going through it, and we've never navigated this before. This is all brand new. But keeping the line of communication open with your child is huge. Really try to have conversations with them about, you know, because they have worries about all this too. So they may be shutting down their engagement, their lack of engagement, maybe because they're shutting down because they're afraid, or it's just overwhelming. Or there could be their worry about other things, because maybe there's other things happening in the family because of everything that's going on. So keeping lines of communication open. And even if they don't want to talk right away, don't give up. Just keep coming back. Okay, that's fine. You don't want to talk now. And just keep asking, you know, here and there, just kindly and compassionately, and that'll go a long way.
Right. And you know what I say too? Look and see what's going on in their bedrooms. You know, see, I'm one of those parents. You don't lock your door in my house. You don't hide your telephone and I'm paying the bill and I can't get in and see who you're talking to. You don't just leave out of here and going when you want to go and don't tell me where you're going and what time you're getting back. Even if you're grown, I want to know who's coming in and out my house. So you have to have some boundaries, parents. Just because they're home and they're feeling vulnerable, there's still some rules and some regulations that they need to follow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Totally agree.
Okay. So that's what so now you have the children that won't engage. I mean, you know, how do we get them motivated? How do we get them psyched up?
I know that's a tough one. And we're struggling with that a lot. We're really struggling with that a lot. Especially the high schoolers. There is no one answer to that. Again, I think it's really tapping in and really connecting with the kids. That's a huge piece, because I think the kids are really losing the connection being online. I know where I work, it's all remote.
Right.
We're just starting, the little ones are just starting to go back next week for hybrid. But they're losing the connection with people and they're starting to withdraw, and it's not good. So it's really that connection.
They start to isolate themselves.
Yes.
And then the depression sets in. So I'm not a psychiatrist, but I'm pretty smart. I got some suggestions. Do a little role reversal. Invite them into the kitchen. If you have tools, invite them to do some woodworking. Maybe it's time for them to learn to play an instrument. Maybe it's time to have some conversation. Maybe it's time to just go out and say, hey, you know, create a routine. You know, that's what me and my daughter are doing. You know, 8 o'clock, we're going to do this. And then you stay in that mindset. You can still go outside and throw the basketball or the football, but engage with that person that lives with you. Get to know your child, because they're hungry. And they're, you know, they're feeling strange. And if you've had a bad relationship, this is the perfect time to work it out.
Cook a meal together. You know, I think, just find something
play
to
do. Learn to play board games again. Read to one another. You know, crocheting is coming back. We're giving you some common sense things to do to engage in those brains, because we don't want, you know, our kids to be feeling bad. But you know, they're a machine. You got to oil it, you got to grease it, you know, and you got to tune it up. So thank you for that. That was really great information.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you.